Mini episode 193 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hi, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris with your list of fantasy football players to keep in your lineup every week in 2012 if they are healthy. We stand against the tendency in our industry to advise overmanaging. Our program deals only with the more marginal players who should be subject to your consideration about who to start from week to week. If healthy, you keep these guys in your lineup. Quarterback: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, Cam Newton, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Tony Romo. Running back: Arian Foster, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, Maurice Jones-Drew, Chris Johnson, Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Turner, Matt Forte, Darren McFadden, Trent Richardson, Adrian Peterson, Ahmad Bradshaw, Jamal Charles, Steven Jackson, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Wide receiver: Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Roddy White, Wes Welker, Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, Greg Jennings, Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, and Julio Jones. Tight end: Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis, Jermichael Finley, Aaron Hernandez, Antonio Gates, and Jason Witten. All right, folks, welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 193, FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider for NFL Week 4. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, breaking it down for you here with your starts and sits for this week. You're among the marginal players, not among the aforementioned every week plays that we have for the show. So we'll just be taking a run through here on the team by team, taking a look, and then a little bit of big picture stuff afterwards. As posted on Twitter, your plays for the Thursday night game here: Cleveland Browns and all out. Marginal plays for
the Browns.
Yeah. Very, very nice, Paul. Kyle.
The Browns.
That voice will never get old. Some other things got old, that are attached to that voice. So I don't know. I could be
The Browns.
I apologize. Continue.
Very nice. Very nice. You are making me laugh here in the midst of this. Flacco, Torrey Smith, and tight end Pitta, your recommended fantasy plays for Baltimore. In the New England Buffalo tilt, Stevie Johnson for Buffalo, whereas for New England, Ridley and Lloyd, and teaming up with the every week plays there of Gronk, of Brady, and of Wes Welker, that makes New England the first of our all in plays this week at the fantasy skill positions. Detroit, Minnesota, and looking at this one here, Michael LeSure, 100 yards, first game out last week. Gotta like him here. Minnesota, not nearly as stout to run against as when they had the Williams brothers patrolling the middle in years past. So go with LeSure for Minnesota. Go with Christian Ponder with the 70% passing completion percentage thus far this year, and Percy Harvin as well. Atlanta, Carolina, we like tight end Gonzalez here. Tony Gonzalez making Atlanta an all-in play. For Carolina, Steve Smith should be a very good play for them among the marginal players this week. San Francisco and the Jets, Alex Smith, Frank Gore, both off to great starts. Ride them this week. Ditto to a certain extent, at least statistically. Sanchez having a decent year statistically, maybe more so than in terms of actual on-field production, as it were. Sanchez is a good play against San Francisco. San Diego, Kansas City, go with Malcolm Floyd, wide receiver for San Diego, and wide receiver Bo for Kansas City, as well as Matt Cassel. Houston, Tennessee. Tennessee to us looks like an all-out play based on going against that stout Houston D. Matt Schaub, a very good play for Houston. He's a borderline every week guy, frankly, at this point anyways. For in the Seattle-St. Louis game, couple of passing targets here. Amendola for St. Louis, got to keep riding him. And tight end McCoy for Seattle, who has emerged as a pretty good sleeper play thus far this year. Arizona and Miami. Miami looks to be all out in this one, particularly with Reggie Bush being dinged up. Go with Kevin Cobb for Arizona. Denver and Oakland. Oakland, again, all out on the road as far as their marginal players. They just had none of them getting it done consistently, be it the wide receivers, certainly Carson Palmer or anybody else. For Denver, a lot of good marginal plays here. Peyton Manning, Willis McGahee, also wide receivers Decker and Thomas. McGahee a little bit banged up, so keep an eye on that as we get a little bit closer to game time. But as of mid to later week here, looks like a good play. He should be good to go in this one, allegedly, anyways. Cincinnati, Jacksonville, the quarterbacks in this one are a good play because of the secondaries that they're going up against. Andy Dalton and Blaine Gabbert. Also on the Jacksonville side, Cecil Shorts has been playing pretty good, and Justin Blackmon is way overdue to break out. And not saying he's going to have five touchdowns here this week, but you got to like him against the Cincinnati secondary. This could be his first good pro game. Green Bay and New Orleans. Cedric Benson is a play for Green Bay, which in and of itself would make Green Bay an all-in recommendation. For New Orleans, running backs Sproles and Thomas. If you're not in a PPR league, Sproles doesn't have nearly as much value because he's been getting it done almost exclusively in that realm. But he and Thomas, although the team has been bad, they've been pretty productive to this point. Tampa Bay, Washington, got to like the battery of Freeman and Jackson for Tampa Bay. For Washington, the hookup of RG3 and Fred Davis, who's been his most reliable weapon through the air. For the Philadelphia Giants game on Sunday night, the combo of DeSean Jackson and Brent Celek for Philadelphia. Jeremy Maclin's still a little bit banged up, kind of hard to recommend him here at this point, but Jackson and Celek in what could very well be a shootout, you got to like them. For the Giants, stay with running back Brown, who you will recall was one of our recommendations last week. Go check Twitter before the Thursday night game. Additionally, tight end Marcellus Bennett, that's going to make the Giants an all-in play. And in the Monday night game, the play of Miles Austin for Dallas looks good, and Reggie Bush against that Dallas run defense, which is not horrible but is vulnerable. You have to like him in that spot there. Five best plays for the week overall in looking at this. Brandon Lloyd, due to really get untracked for New England, and look for Brady to be going to him a lot this week. Matt Schaub, who we've gone with previously this year. RG3, who we've gone with previously this year. Cedric Benson, who I don't think has even been a recommendation to start more than 1 week at the most this year. But, again, somebody who really should be able to get it done on the ground against New Orleans and keep them honest as though the Saints won't have enough problems in this matchup here. And Steve Smith for Carolina, who is still getting on track. That leaves us with, again, with the bye week, Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, four all-in plays, counting the gimme players on these teams and the marginal players that we are recommending for you to go with here. Green Bay, New York Giants, New England, and Atlanta all in, all out. Cleveland, there's a shock. Additionally, Tennessee, Miami, Oakland. By position, 12 marginal quarterbacks this week. Fairly deep field there. Six tight ends, so it's going to be a decent field at tight end. Kind of a stark difference running back and wide receiver. This is the one thing we keep an eye on from week to week. What is a better thing to go with, all things being equal, if you're playing a flex? We only have 9 marginal running backs that we're recommending this week, 15 marginal wide receivers. So this week, the flex position in a vacuum kind of tends to favor wide receivers. As is the case with any of this, it's all, you know, all things being equal. It's all a matter of what's on your team. And again, we always say that there's guys that you never bench, but, you know, if we have if we're recommending 5 marginal plays there as well, you do have to take that into consideration. But you always do want to give the extra impetus to the guys that, you know, at least in a vacuum, you never should bench. And I know that's one of the things we wanted to talk about here, Kyle, as far as the steadfastness of playing with these guys and, you know, knowing that you're going to suffer if you bench them the week that they go off.
Yeah, I just wanted to put over, because I saw something you wrote on Facebook, I think, to the esteemed Jason Jones.
Senior editor,
At FDH, there are certain guys you just don't bench. And I saw for a reason, because if you remember on this program last week, I asked about Wes Welker. Is it time to get nervous? Maybe think about benching him. Thank God I didn't bench any of my regulars last week because they all kind of turned around. Welker did well. It was funny because Newton had such a bad game on Thursday. He's my quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Spiller gets hurt. I'm like, oh, God, my team's really Everyone else really came through with very solid games. And I would like to kind of reiterate what you said, that if you've got a top-level guy, you don't want to be – don't make it harder than you want, because you're just going to get really mad if you're one of those guys who constantly shuffles your lineup from week to week. I've always tried not to be that guy, so I think you and I have a similar mentality. To me, if you're a Cam Newton or a Wes Welker or whoever else you may have, you've really got to suck for me not to want to start you.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to start – playing all the situational games. If some guys traditionally better, just play them.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna kick yourself if you start the wrong guy. I mean, you want to make the easier move. I'll say this, though. I do want to ask a question about my team, because I think I mentioned this maybe a couple weeks ago on the program.
Okay.
I'm a bit of an issue.
All right.
I only have three running backs on my roster, because I just thought there was such greater depth at receiver, and we don't have a mandatory number of spots but you can just have an open bench. It can be how many ever guys you want. You just have to have a select starter. There's no flex in our league either.
All right.
We just do the two running backs, two starting receivers, one tight end. I'm in a quandary. I've got three guys I have are all very good when healthy. Jamaal Charles, who was awesome last week.
Yeah.
Michael Turner, who rebounded nicely, and he could do well this week, but he does have a DUI looming.
Yeah.
And then CJ Spiller, who's apparently going to be out for 2 weeks. Do I need to make a move just to get some low-level running? I don't know the buys offhand that they have, but do I need to make a move coming up to get some sort of competent backup running back rather than just waiting and getting some – because there's nothing on the waiver wire. So I would assume – I mean, am I in a position where I need to make some sort of trade? I've got guys like who are somewhat promising. My starting receivers are Welker and Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Who are both good, and I kind of anticipate starting them every week. So should I package? I mean, T.Y. Hilton came through with a touchdown last week. I've got a lot of rookie receivers. Alshon Jeffrey mm-hmm. has shown some flashes. Mauro Manningham's kind of solid. He's kind of a good bye week replacement, right?
Yeah.
Do I maybe need to make a move trading two receivers? I think I have I still have Justin Blackmon, so I had four rookie who has shown nothing, but, I mean, I think you mentioned he could be in for his first big game. Do I need to maybe make a move package to those guys, get a decent running back?
You do, and before I even looked at the buys, that was going to be my answer. And it's funny because, again, on one of my two teams, that's my backfield also, Jamaal Charles and Michael Turner. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure, and then I looked at it here, they actually have the same bye week, week 7.
Okay, so I'm in a lot of trouble.
You have to.
Well, here's the thing that news across the board, CJ Spiller might play in week 4?
That seems
so he could be there, but you're right. I actually have to get a guy just because I got two guys out. So
yeah. So you're gonna need another body anyways. But
how
yeah.
am I a 29 point dog in my matchup this week? I've got high points the last 2 weeks. My team gets no credit, in my opinion.
You know, I have to say,
I have CJ Spiller still in the starting lineup. I can rectify that.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Oh, and Antonio Brown. Oh, I have a bye. I got to make some moves here. Rick Morris. Oh my God, I'm glad we're doing this program right now.
They were calling it to your attention, and I'm looking at this here. Yeah, this is remarkable. CJ Spiller is only being listed as questionable for this week. If you'd been watching the game and saw him get carted out as I did, you would find out.
I thought he was gone for the year.
You would think just how questionable the word questionable is in a circumstance mm-hmm. like this. So, yeah, you cannot count on that. Now, having said that, if they're already listing him as questionable at this point, my guess is he'll be back in some form or fashion by week 7. What he's going to give you, particularly with a Fred Jackson who's going to be ready to go by then, remains to be seen. But, yeah, you're going to need another body anyway. So, yeah, you best make a move.
Who should I start in place of Antonio Brown here? Justin Blackmon, Alshon Jeffrey, or Mauro Manningham?
The only one of the three that was a recommended play for the week was the former here, Justin Blackmon.
Okay.
So I would say go with him.
Go give him a start. I Cincinnati's been bad. I'm going with him. All right.
Yeah.
Let's put him in the line.
Yeah. Their secondary has been horrible. I think there's going to be an opportunity there. That's decent. And again, in terms of talking fantasy here, as we do on the program. Wanted to make a note also, too. Could have done this either for fantasy or for our weekly thing of looking at the lines and the game by game. This could have applied to either. But this whole hullabaloo here that we look like we're somewhat on the back end of now here, mercifully, with the replacement refs in the NFL. It's an interesting thing because, you know, we've been hearing a lot over the last week, and Steve Young was one of the ones pushing the line of cynicism. Oh, people can't stay away from the league, people whatever. Yeah, but it's a thing where it's different now, I think, because you have the people that always were into gambling. And I think that certainly the internet has made it a lot more available. The fact that you're not having to place a bet with the shady guy at the corner bar anymore, mm-hmm. I think that that's making it more available to people. And then the first cousin to fantasy, as I've been calling it for a long time now, fantasy. And by the way, these daily leagues, you're not a first cousin to gambling anymore. That's a brother to gambling. If you're in a daily league, that is Kyle Ross. If you can get a ticket out in Vegas for one day's games of fantasy players, that's the line between fantasy and gambling is all but gone there. It's non-existent. But anyways, because of that, again, I maintain people have a connection now that is much more impersonal. And I've been saying in recent years that this is a thing where, you know, if you don't like these spoiled, greedy players or whatever, and that's how I tend to come down on a lot of this kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I don't like those. How Republican of you. That top 1%. It's the spoiled, greedy owners.
Memo to Kyle Ross, the players are the 1%.
Well, I like them more.
Regardless of who you don't like, you can use them for your own selfish benefit on this. And that's what I always say. You know, I don't have a personal loyalty to just about anybody in the NFL. But I want the guys on my team to go off. And I want the guys that I tout as a fantasy tout to go off. And it's an interesting thing here. So I think the league risks a little bit of cockiness. Oh, that'll always come back. Well, it's almost kind of fitting that we see this in a historical way with the passing of Steve Sable last week, because the NFL we grew up on, that NFL films brought us, we did kind of bond to a lot of this kind of stuff. But with this rapid monetization of the league, you know, to an extreme extent over the last 20 years, the Jerry Jones era of the league, as I like to call it, it's that we are kind of separated and divorced from all of them. But fantasy gives us something. These issues are irrelevant next to, I want to beat the ass of my friends in my league that I've been playing with for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I don't even care about that other stuff. I want to beat the ass of John Adams this week or some of the other guys in the league or whatever the case may be. So that, it's interesting, Kyle. I mean, it's like a yes and no thing as far as an attachment to the league. Fantasy and gambling have really transformed it in a completely different direction.
It has, and you know,
and depersonalized it.
Yeah, and I'm not somebody who's going to boycott the league. Obviously, I'm too tied in to do something like that, but in regard, by the way, we talked about last week,
mm-hmm.
look for home teams to benefit, Baltimore and Seattle, the two big primetime games.
Yeah.
And
got the calls.
I'm not convinced that the regular refs would have gotten Green Bay-Seattle right.
I've pointed that out, but
It would have been better organized, but yeah. I'm not convinced. I mean, people always complain. I'm never somebody who complains about officiating. The only game now that game was close. Green Bay could make a legitimate argument that they were jobbed by
sure.
the officials. But I don't think – I wouldn't rank that as badly as the Tuck Rule game, New England and Oakland. I thought that was much worse.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought that was – because I almost thought they invented a rule out of thin air. And that one, those are the real refs, by the way.
This is a game where an interception was turned into a touchdown. So I don't know. I think –
well, the other one was, I mean, granted, Oakland still could have stopped them, but, I mean, in the snow, after, by God, they played their hearts out that game so well. you knew when that fumble was overturned in the Raiders-Patriots playoff game, the Raiders were going to lose.
I've always said.
By the way, real quickly, who would you pick up, Danny Woodhead or Mike Tolbert?
I'd say Woodhead.
Okay.
I had some chode in my keeper league trying to sell me on getting Mike Tolbert. And my co-owner was actually entertaining it until I pointed out that a case could be made that he's actually their fourth goal line option, you know, depending on how you
gotcha.
Look at it. So, yeah, that's I don't think too much of Tolbert in that situation there with two feature backs and, oh, by the way, Cam Newton, who's a bigger guy than either
yeah,
of those backs.
Yeah, I have him too. Well, he could cover me. At least I'll get the touchdown.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would help you in that regard. But, no, it's a thing where when you look at this, with those refs, the process would have been right, at least. And I'm a big process guy on the stuff with FDH. If you go about things the right way, you got a much better chance of getting it done in the end. They would have huddled. They would have consulted. It wouldn't have been the impromptu, you know, whose line is it anyways,
yeah.
if one guy throws up two arms and one guy signals touchback. So Just some thoughts on that. It looks like we're on the back end of this thing, Kyle Ross. This is probably the last week that's going to have that as a part of the
equation. Hit the brick scabs. You know, hit the brick scabs.
Of course you would call them scabs, you know, from your political orientation, Kyle Ross.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
Value of unions.
I'm just shedding a lot of crocodile tears that Obama won't be able to grandstand on the issue of.
Oh, he did.
I believe
he sent out a tweet.
He did. Oh, and he personally signed that one.
He did, I believe. he did.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, I guess football really is the global game, Kyle.
Don't start. I'm cutting you off. I'm not letting you say that again.
Insert random Kenya.
Oh, come
line.
On!
You're out of line. Yeah. As we all are, but our picks are not out of line. Go play our picks for NFL Week 4.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.